this is the instrument that he uses that will lift off into the sky with the weather balloon here in about an hour. And it has all the different sensors on it, the temperature sensor, the relative humidity sensor, pressure sensor, and it actually uses GPS to measure wind speeds and things like that and its location. And you can actually track the weather balloon because of GPS. You can track it all the way until it bursts, until the balloon bursts, which usually happens about 100,000, 150,000 feet, and then it just falls back to Earth. And that's why we attach parachute to it, because even though this instrument is primarily styrofoam, obviously you wouldn't want to be conked on the head by that traveling at terminal velocity. So we have a parachute on it, lands safely on the ground, and to my knowledge, I don't think anybody has ever been hurt by one of these weather sondes, which we launch, obviously.
You don't hear too many stories of people being beamed by weather balloons falling out of the sky, so I guess it doesn't happen very often.
That's true, although the one thing you do hear about, and we're very cognizant of that, is that when you see one of these things laying on the ground, you don't know what it is usually, because most people haven't seen one of these weather instruments, and it's just a small square box, and so there is some fear of what they're approaching. So we actually have very clearly labeled on this box that this is a harmless weather instrument. Yeah, so Hens is just kind of setting up the system for the flight.
Today, I'm probably going to launch it. It's probably going to go northwest. Set the elevation to about 45 degrees. Let it sit. We'll go up and inflate, tie everything off. Call down here saying, do we have matches? We want SPS and GPS. SPS is the antenna. And we want both of these to be green and have four or more matches. They'll say, okay, and then we'll launch. And away it goes. We'll come down here, fine-tune the position, because it'll start getting a GPS position. So we'll fine-tune it from where I set it to where the sound says it is. And then we periodically check the plots, because we want to be able to edit the data. The hard part is not doing the prep or releasing it. It's recognizing there's a problem and then editing it. That's where the meteorology comes in. See, I could show you how to do it, and then by the third run, you're doing it yourself. This part. I'm going to put in, we use this 600 gram balloon weight. So it's 1,700 grams of gas. We're going to put a 100-foot string on it between this and the balloon. Will be 100 feet. We find that optimum because as the balloon ascends, it's going to disturb the air. It's going to generate some heat that can be picked up by this instrument. So we want a good separation between that balloon starts out. You'll see it. It's about 5 feet in diameter, but it'll go to 30, 35 feet when it bursts, because that's a very latex-ish type material, and boy, does it expand. So, and then of course, when it hits that, kaboom, it explodes. Down it goes, end of flight. This will pick up when the pressure, instead of decreasing, starts increasing. And that's how it knows balloon burst. And so then it'll stop the flight, and that's when we start processing it. But it'll get up there. It goes 900 feet a minute is optimal, 15, 20 feet a second. And we don't use a train regulator. That's a thing where when we launch in high winds, it's a spool that automatically unravels, because that way, when you get winds, then the balloons, winds are so strong that it's going to go not vertical, but horizontal pretty much, because you're blowing. Well, that it shortens the train on it.
Funny enough, kind of Hans was mentioning the train regulator. I was launching a weather balloon in Amarillo, Texas one time when we had 60-mile-an-hour winds. And it's always difficult when the winds are increasing, because like Hans said, the balloon doesn't go up. It goes away from you, almost, right along the ground. And this balloon took off and was heading right for our building, which I thought for sure the radio sound was going to smash into the building and just ruin the flight, because obviously it stops working after it hits something hard. Fortunately, it missed the building, but it hit one of our vans, and it left a very sizable dent in the side of the van. So these things are moving pretty quick.
Yeah, and you're standing there, and usually, as you'll see up there, I usually hold it by the parachute, top of the parachute. But when it's windy, you got to hold it by the nozzle, because that's the only part of the balloon you can touch. The You'll see when I take it out of the bag, I don't touch the balloon except the nozzle, because you don't want to get any your finger oil oils from your anything. It'll weaken the integrity of the balloon. We have to keep the bag and everything, because if say this is a dud, so we gotta replace it, you know, do another one, and we gotta send this one in, because this is like $170, right? It's pretty. We got a bag in here, so if somebody finds it out there in the field, they put it in the bag and mail it back to us, we can recondition it and save the taxpayer about $50, $60. So that's what we want to do. So.
How many of them come back?
Not one this year yet. Last year, I think maybe three, maybe, somewhere. Yeah.
It all kind of depends on where you are in the country when you're launching them. Obviously here, because most of our balloons are going to go, well, this time of year, they're going to either go kind of straight up or off to the northwest. But most of the times of the year, the weather, wind patterns are moving from west to east. So these balloons are going to go east, and they're going to land pretty much in the middle of nowhere unless they hit like Wilcox or something. But the further east you go to the more populated areas, you have a higher likelihood of somebody finding the balloon. And they get back between overall like 5 to 10% of the balloons.
So this is the chip that measures the humidity. We got to make sure it's seated in there correctly. The two prime directions for when we launch is either northwest, north-northwesterly, or southeast. Yeah, but these things will go out. I've seen them go out over 200 kilometers, really out there, in an hour and a half. They'll get into like the jet stream and zoom. They go. So a lot of them wind up in Mexico down there. So.
And, yeah, they're not sending them back, so.
They're not sending them back. So now we just pretty much, we got to wait for about 15 minutes. I got to go out there and see what kind of clouds we have so I know what to code. And then I'll check it again before we, because then I'll hit refresh and then enter the CloudWex, and then we'll start.